first verse that I want to share with you this evening. This is our, as I've said at the start, this is our Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, or Know Jesus, N-O, Jesus, What's Your Excuse series. And last week I spoke on the second of our excuses that people give for not becoming Christians. And that excuse was, I'm not a bad person. And many of us who have been doing street evangelism for years will have heard this excuse many, many times. But by making this their excuse, I assume what they mean is, when they're saying I'm not a bad person, what they mean is they're actually a good, or they're not as bad as some people. However, that Mr. and Mrs. I'm not a bad person, if they managed to keep all of God's commandments, which they haven't, but if they managed to keep all of God's commandments, that wouldn't be good enough. God isn't, as I said last week, and I'm going to use my words carefully this week, God isn't going to swallow their excuse, I'm not a bad person. In fact, God could turn their excuse on their head by saying, you say I'm not a bad person, but you consider it okay to call me and my son Jesus liars. Because Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 18, he said, no one is good but one, that is God. And also the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes these words in 1 John 1 verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, I'm not a bad person. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. The I'm not a bad person excuse which people give for not becoming a Christian may actually condemn you, may actually condemn them. Let's just pray. Father, tonight as we look at yet another excuse, we're not going to pull our punches, Lord God, in what your word says regarding this next excuse. We just pray, please, that the people here and the people who are listening, tuned in, Lord God, tonight, would hear what you're saying. Lord, please, tonight, speak through your living and active word. And help us to realize, Lord, excuses are not going to wash with you. What we do about Jesus, how we live our lives, we're going to be held to account. There's only salvation for those who trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So tonight, Spirit of the living God, let this truth smash down the lies and the deceit of Satan in people's hearts and minds who use the excuse that we're looking at this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking during the week, over 27 years ago, while I was doing street evangelism in High Street in Bangor, a man I knew approached me and said these words, Toddy, I would love to be a Christian. I would love to be a Christian. I would love to be saved. I would love to have a better life and not be afraid of dying or death. And I responded, you could become a Christian tonight and be saved. If you'll confess your sin, if you will turn away from it, the Bible says repent from it and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said these words, but I can't be a Christian. Because as you know, Toddy, I've done some terrible, terrible things in my life. I doubt God will forgive me. And he says, and I love my family too much to lose them. If God was to tell me to go to the police and confess my crimes, I couldn't do it. I couldn't face life in prison without my wife and not seeing my children grow up. I've done some terrible things. I doubt God would ever forgive me. Can you guess the excuse for not becoming a Christian that I'm covering tonight? It's almost the opposite of last week's. The excuse is this: I'm too bad to be forgiven. I'm too bad to be forgiven. I mean, we can all say that we've heard, those of us who have gone out done evangelism, we can all say we've heard the opposite of that: I'm not a bad person. But it's not often that you'll come across people who are honest enough to tell you, I'm too bad. I'm too bad to be forgiven. And you'd be surprised just how often this excuse is given. As I said, it's almost the opposite of last week's excuse, where some people think they're just too good to need God's forgiveness, or they're too good to need to be saved. And yet, I believe there is more hope for the person who thinks they're too bad to be forgiven than for those who don't think they need God's forgiveness at all. We heard last week, and I already mentioned this evening, how Jesus declared, no one is good but one, that is God. And twice in the Psalms, and I always say in Shiloh, when the Bible tells you something once, you need to listen. When it tells you it twice, you better listen. And twice in the Psalms, in Psalm 14 and in Psalm 53, we read the very words that the Apostle Paul quotes. So this is three times in Romans chapter 3, when he writes these words: there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. All have turned away. There is none who does good. Did you hear that this evening? The person who believes or makes the excuse that they're too bad to be forgiven, at least they're agreeing with what the Word of God says. There is none good. Unlike the people last week who were saying, I'm not a bad person, in other words, I'm actually good. The people that we're talking about tonight are actually agreeing with God's word, because God's word says there is none righteous, there is none who does good, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There are no exceptions. It doesn't say, for all have sinned except for Nolene Jones. It doesn't say, for all have sinned except for Mark Preston. It says, for all have sinned, meaning all, every human being on the face of God's planet has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. So the people who think, I'm too bad to be forgiven, guess what? You're not on your own. Everybody has done bad. And let me tell you, there are no letters of immunity given by God to anyone. All have sinned, and all must pay the price for sin. And the Bible is clear: the wages, the price of sin is death. If your excuse for not becoming a Christian is, I'm too bad to be forgiven, at least you're admitting that you've done wrong. But let me read you tonight a list of some of those who on the day of judgment will be cast into hell. Now, there is absolutely no doubt from the list that I am about to read, these people will be cast into hell on the day of judgment. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it says these words: but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That ladies and gentlemen, is hell. Did you hear the list? Let me say it to you again. The cowardly. They're first on the list. The cowardly. Now, for those who use the excuse, I'm too bad to be forgiven. The cowardly, worse than a coward. You who say you're too bad to be forgiven, are you worse than a coward? The unbelieving is next on the list. Those who refuse, willfully refuse to believe God's word or to trust in Jesus, they will be cast into hell. Third on the list, the abominable. Those who commit disgusting acts. Are you worse than a pedophile? Are you worse than homosexuals? Are you worse than those who commit disgusting acts? You who say I'm too bad to be forgiven, are you worse than those who commit abominable acts as far as God's word is concerned? Look at who are next on the list to be cast into hell. Murderers. Are you a murderer? You who use the excuse, I'm too bad to be forgiven. Are you worse than a murderer tonight? You may say, well, I have never taken anybody's life, but Jesus would question and say to you, but have you ever hated anyone in your heart? Look who's next on the list to be cast into hell. The sexually immoral, the fornicators, all who have sex outside of marriage, all who are whoremongers, all who are floating about and spreading sexually transmitted diseases. Are you worse than them? And then we come to a classic in Revelation 21 verse 8, because everybody thinks we're all going to be dressed up as Harry Potter when it comes to this. When it speaks about the sorcerers are going to be cast into hell. And we know that the sorcerers can mean those who are involved with the occult and witchcraft and all of that stuff. Those who are involved in fortune telling and the mediums and all of those headbins. But the Bible is not saying that. The word for sorcerers is pharmakia, from which comes pharmacist, from which you get pharmaceuticals. And it's talking here about drug users and drug dealers. And it's saying the drug users and the drug dealers are on the list to be cast into hell. Are you worse than them? And then it says the idolaters, the worshippers of false gods, are those who worship God falsely. Are you an Islamist tonight? Are you one of these people who pretends you're an atheist even though we don't believe in them? Are you a Hindu or any other religion that says that Jesus is not the Son of God and that Jesus is not the only way to heaven? Are you worse than an idolater tonight, an idolater? You who say, I'm too bad to be forgiven, are you a liar? Are you worse than a liar? Revelation 21, these are not the words of Taddy Gordon. This is the word of God. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, this is just a short list of those who will be cast away from God's presence on the day of judgment. This is a list of those who will be cast into hell on the day of judgment. You who think, I'm too bad to be forgiven. Do you sincerely believe that you're worse than any or all of these people on this list? Well, what would you say tonight if I told you, or if I asked you, do you know many people from the list I just read in Revelation chapter 8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the drug users and drug dealers, the idolaters, the liars. Do you know that many of the people from that list will be in heaven? But that's a complete contradiction, some people might say. How is it possible people from that list, or even worse, are going to get into heaven. Well, turn, if you will, if you've got a Bible. If not, I'm going to read it to you anyway, in Psalm 130. And we'll get the answer to that question. How are people from that list getting into heaven? Psalm 130 says these words: "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? There is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Psalm 130 was a song that was sung by Jewish pilgrims as they traveled up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord in the temple. And it speaks of their realization of their need of God and of God's mercies. They cry to him that he might hear their pleas and listen to their prayers. If you should mark, if you should take note of iniquities, our wrongdoings, who, Lord, could stand? Who could stand if you were to hold our sins against us? The Bible's clear. No one could stand, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet they say, if you should mark our iniquities, if you should mark out our sins and hold them against us, who could stand? That seems like a very strange thing to say, considering God does keep record of people's sin, because he assures us one day people will all have to give account for them. If you should mark iniquities, who could stand? If God held our sins against us, no one could stand. No one could enter heaven. But, and that's fantastic, but there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Hallelujah. But there is forgiveness with you. The Jewish pilgrims knew God is a gracious, a compassionate, and a forgiving God. I wait, they said, I wait with eager expectation for the Lord. My soul waits in his word, I hope. In other words, they trusted in the Lord to help them and to save them. Why? Because they knew there was forgiveness with God. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him abundant redemption. Do you know what that means? There is no one beyond redemption. There is no one who is breathing the breath that God has given you this very night that is beyond redemption. There is no one in God's eyes who can say, I'm too bad to be forgiven, because God is saying there is forgiveness for you. He shall redeem Israel. He shall redeem whatever your name is tonight. He shall redeem all who call upon his name from all of their iniquities, from their sin, and from the consequences of sin. You whose excuse for not becoming a Christian is, I'm too bad to be forgiven. You need to listen to these words. You need to allow these words to resound in your ears and to receive them into your heart tonight. There is forgiveness with God for you. It doesn't matter what you have done. God already knows. It doesn't matter to what depths of depravity that you may have stooped. There is forgiveness with God for you. How wonderful. How wonderful. People who were once on that list, and believe me, I was on it. People who were once on that list from Revelation chapter 8 believed it and received it. And that's what you need to do tonight. You need to believe God. That list is clear. Many will be cast into hell. But it is also clear in God's word. There is forgiveness for those who want it. God knew all mankind are sinners. He said it, there are none righteous, no, not one. All have turned away. There is none who does good. He knew that mankind was helpless to save themselves from sin and its consequences, and so he provided a means of salvation. God sent his sinless son Jesus to die in our place to pay the price for our sin. And now God declares, whoever, even the person who says, I'm too bad to be forgiven, whoever believes, has faith in Jesus, whoever believes will receive forgiveness of sins and have everlasting life. Listen again, you who make the excuse for not becoming a Christian, I'm too bad to be forgiven. There is forgiveness with God for you. I urge you, I plead with you tonight to stop making excuses and humbly come to God, telling him that you believe his son Jesus has paid your debt of sin in full, and ask God to forgive you. The man that I told you about earlier, who said, I'd love to be a Christian. I'd love to be saved and have a better life and not be afraid of dying or death, but I can't be a Christian because I've done some terrible things. I doubt God will forgive me. That man put his trust in Jesus just a couple of years ago, only months before he died. He took a hold of the promise, there is forgiveness with God for you. And he went and he took a hold of it and he received it and he got his forgiveness for his sins and he entered into the joy of the Lord. He realized the truth. God is a gracious, compassionate, and forgiving God. With the Lord there is mercy, and with him abundant redemption. He shall redeem you from all your iniquities. Christian, what a wonderful God we serve. And what a wonderful message of hope that the Lord has given. How gracious, how compassionate and forgiving God is. We know it because through Jesus we are beneficiaries of his great grace. May we live to tell others there is forgiveness with God for them. Maybe tonight you're here, or you're watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast and you're not yet a believer. Maybe you're still struggling in your mind with things of the past, things that you have done, things that you're even thinking about doing. And you think, no, I'm too bad to be forgiven. Well, I'm telling you tonight that God's word is clear. There is forgiveness with God for you. If you will confess your sin, that means agree with God that you are a sinner. Repent of it, that means turn around from living that way and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness with God for you. I'm too bad to be forgiven is now a pretty poor excuse when there is forgiveness with God for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a scary thought in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 when you look at that list of those, Lord, that will be separated forever from your presence, cast into the lake of fire, into hell. And yet, Lord God, sitting here tonight, and even myself, we were on that list. And you so graciously, so mercifully, so kindly and lovingly reached out to us. And you showed us our need of salvation. And thank you for pointing us to Jesus. And thank you that in him we have found a full salvation, and that we have received forgiveness of sins and have everlasting life. And we will never see hell because we have been redeemed. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be filled with your Spirit, to go out, Lord God, with the wonderful message of the good news of Jesus to others, to tell them there is forgiveness with God for them. And we pray tonight for anyone, Lord God, who is not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever excuse they're making, we ask, Lord, that you would have mercy upon them. Because you are gracious, because you are merciful, because there is forgiveness with you, we ask, Almighty God, that you would reach out to them in the power of your Spirit and convict them of their sin. Help them to see, Lord, that that offer of forgiveness is for this life only. Lord, they can't ask for it when they die. Lord, please, in the name of Jesus, touch souls tonight. Rescue people, Lord God, from the grip of Satan in Jesus' name, and deliver them from evil. Let them see, Lord. Let them experience. Let them know, Lord God, that there is forgiveness for them with you through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.